I wanted to just mention regarding this God zone that a lot of times we try to do things in the flesh. We try to do, even try to make our walk with the Lord in the flesh. But it's a whole lot easier when we're able to do it in the Spirit. And so that's what the God zone is about, is to help you learn how to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, live in the power of the Spirit. And it's a whole lot better living life in the Spirit than it is in the flesh. God has some marvelous things in store for us, but I just want to let you know that you're never really going to mature in your walk with the Lord until you learn how to walk in the Spirit. And so that is key for each one of us, to be able to learn how to walk in the Spirit and follow Him daily. It's more than just walking in the Spirit is more than just trying to follow a list of do's and don'ts. It's being able to commune with the Father and just follow Him wherever He takes you. And so I want to encourage you, if you've not been a part of that, Sunday night, 6 o'clock, for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be studying that, looking at that. And so, by the way, it's being videotaped. And it will be on YouTube. Okay? So, when you act nice, smile real big like you're enjoying it. Yes, so it'll be under our website, but it's not going to... So the person who's responsible for that is going on vacation and won't be back, so it'll be probably November or December before that actually... Yeah. So probably November or December before that actually takes place, okay? And he's going to edit out a bunch of my goofs and mess up so I look professional. And so, can you do that, Paul? That'd be a miracle, wouldn't it? Amen. Pray hard. Pray hard. So on Sunday mornings, we're looking at and trying to get to know Jesus better. Paul said that I may know Him. That was his heart's cry. He said, man, I'm willing to go even to the death that Jesus died so that I can go know Him better. Now, that's pretty incredible. What we're doing is looking at what Jesus said and what He did. And in doing so, we're trying to discover more about who Jesus is. When Jesus came to this earth and was started teaching, as a matter of fact, we're in Matthew chapter 5. By the way, we're looking at, so Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 is called the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 1, He goes up on the mountain. Matthew chapter 8, 1, He comes down off the mountain. And so 5, 6, and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is having some profound statements. It's new to the people who are listening. They've never heard anyone teach like Jesus did. The insights are just like from God Himself, because it was. And so they were able to understand things, heavenly things that they had never understood before, because of the way Jesus presented it and what He said. And so we're looking at Matthew chapter 5, and the first section under Matthew chapter 5 is called the Beatitudes. Okay? And these are attitudes that we ought to be. The Beatitudes. And He talks about, you know, how we should be poor in spirit, how we should be meek. And so the first six Beatitudes are characteristics that we ought to implement into our lives. But the next ones are some things that we ought to do, okay? So it goes from being to doing. And so today we're going to talk about the doing. We're going to talk about the doing. And so in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I tell you what, if there's ever a time in our world that we need peace, it's today. If there's ever a time in the United States we need peace, it's today. There's riots going on everywhere. Throughout the world, there are wars. And there are rumors of wars. We're living in tumultuous times. Wouldn't it be nice if we had peace with North Korea? Yeah, Rocket Man. That would be awesome. Wouldn't it be nice if we had peace with Russia? That would be awesome. Some years ago, we at this church studied a book called Resolving Everyday Conflicts by Ken Sandy. Awesome book. He also wrote a book called The Peacemaker. That's also an awesome book. It kind of helps a person. Did you know that there are people who actually, they are paid to go help people bring peace with one another? That's what they did. Sometimes they're called mediators. If there is a conflict in the family, oftentimes, or maybe marriage relationships, sometimes they bring a mediator in to kind of help mediate the conflict. Businesses, leaders in businesses have conflict sometimes, and so they may bring a leadership or a mediator in to help with this, to kind of bring peace into the situation. And some of them do really wonderful. But I want you to know that none of the things that I've mentioned thus far is what Jesus is talking about. And the reason I know that is because he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You don't become a son of God by bringing peace to people. Unless it's the peace of Jesus Christ. And so, as we look at this, I saw on the internet yesterday that the king of Egypt, El-Sisi, is about to take the lead in helping broker dramatic peace agreements, not just between Israelis and Palestinians, but perhaps between Israel and the rest of the Arab world. Now that would be outstanding. That would be incredible. That would be a miracle. That would be a miracle to have peace in that region. But do you know what? That's not even what Jesus is talking about. Excuse me just a second. What Jesus means by peacemaker is those who are able to initiate peace between people who are enemy with God and God Himself. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about people who initiate conversations about Christ and bring people into the kingdom. That's what he's talking about. So, a peacemaker is one who is sharing Christ and bringing people into the kingdom of God. Look, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. It says, Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Say with me, given us the ministry of reconciliation. Given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you not on Christ's behalf. I'm sorry. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Did you know that we have a ministry of reconciliation? That's your ministry. If you ever wonder, what is my ministry? What does God call me to do? What is His desire for my life? Why did He bring me into the kingdom? Was it just to sit on a pew and enjoy the experience of Christ and His fruit in my life? Is that why He called me? Well, that's part of it, but He also called you to be a minister of reconciliation. He called you to connect with people who don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and bring them into the kingdom of God. That's why He called you, okay? That's your ministry. I don't know what my ministry is. Now you know. Now you know. Your ministry is to bring people into the kingdom of God. He also says that you're an ambassador for Christ. What an awesome responsibility. You know what an ambassador is? It's someone who has been appointed to speak on the behalf of someone else. For instance, if we have an ambassador to Egypt from our country, President Trump has said, you are going to speak on my behalf. Everything you say comes from me. I have the authority, so if I'm the ambassador to Egypt, I have the authority of the president to bring and propose to him things that and just set them out. And this is, and it's as if the president himself is speaking. Okay? So when you are an ambassador for Christ, what God has appointed you and given you authority to do is speak on His behalf. If you're looking there again in the verse 20, it says, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. Have you ever thought about God pleading for people to come into the kingdom? God is pleading for people coming to the kingdom, and He's pleading through who? He's pleading through us. I think a lot of times we get so self-focused that we forget about those around us who don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Every minute, 105 people leave this earth to spend eternity somewhere. Every minute. That's almost 2 a second. Every hour, 6,316 people depart this earth, and they will either spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Daily, nearly 151,600 people. Yearly, 55.3 million people die and go to meet their Maker. And you know what? Some of them have never heard about Jesus. Some of them have never heard the gospel story. Some of them have, and did you know that some people here in Tillamook have never heard that story? I remember years ago I was living in Portland and we had a vacation Bible school going on, and there was a kid that came around and my brother asked him, do you know who Jesus is? He said, does he live in this area? He never heard. He had never heard. And kiddos, children, youth, there are kids in your school who have never heard the name of Jesus unless it's in a cursing manner. They don't understand the gospel message. They don't understand what Christ has done for them. So, everywhere we go, we need to present Christ. You remember when Jesus was talking about arm yourself, put your armor on? Do you remember what goes on the feet? The preparation of the gospel of peace. What's the gospel of peace? The good news. It's Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so what he's saying is, whenever you are going about your daily business, one of the things that you need to understand is that you need to always be prepared to share Christ. Always be prepared to share Christ. That's what the, you don't just, and I know, so every morning I have the opportunity to take my grandchildren to school. We pray the armor on. Okay? Lord, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, girdle of truth, shoes of peace, shield of faith, sword of spirit. But sometimes we don't understand what that means. We think it's just for protection. But when we're putting on the preparation of the gospel of peace, what we're saying is, Lord, I want to be ready at any time you give me opportunity to share Christ with an individual. Now, some of you are doing that, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Someone shared with me this morning that they had the opportunity to share Christ with their supervisor at work. Isn't that amazing? There was a debacle that was the problem of the individual here in this church. And so she was called in to the supervisor, and it turned into a witnessing opportunity. Isn't that amazing? And so there are some of you who are always ready. You've got your shoes on, and you're ready to share Christ. I was with Ken the other day. We were visiting in the hospital, and when I walked up, he was, "Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Lord?" The guy was saying, "Yeah, I know the Lord." Well, I asked his wife later if I could call, pray with her, and she said, "No, don't think so." I don't have time right now. Sometimes it's just all we can do is plant seed. Sometimes that's all we can do is plant seed. Sometimes we're seed planters, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. Sometimes we're seed planters, sometimes we're harvesters, sometimes we're waterers, sometimes we're weeders. We get the weeds out. But we're doing our part, and always be ready. I want to ask you a question. If someone came up to you and asked you how to become a Christian, would you know how to tell them? You know, people are looking at your life. Here's the thing, and you need to hear this. Do you remember what we preached on last week? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How likely are people going to listen to the gospel message if you're not walking the walk? I don't think that was an accident that Jesus put it in that order. And I'm not saying you have to be perfect, thank the Lord. But we have to start going that way. We have to begin moving in that direction. People began to watch. Did you know people are watching you? There are some things, you know, I'm the preacher, I'm the pastor. But even before I became a preacher and a pastor, there was something in me that said, I have freedom to do some stuff, but I'm not going to do it because it might affect someone and keep them from coming to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. There are some things I'm not going to do, not because I'm a preacher, not because I'm a pastor. But if I do something that hinders a person from coming to know Christ, then their blood is on my hands. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture to you. I didn't know I was going to go here, but I'm going to read this to you. Matthew chapter 18, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 18, verse 6. So Paul was talking to the Jews. He was trying to encourage them to receive the gospel of Christ. And in verse 6, that when they opposed him, Paul, and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads, I'm clean. From now on I'm going to the Gentiles." What did he mean by that? Your blood be on your own hands. Well, actually, that's taken from Exodus chapter 33. I'm sorry, Ezekiel chapter 33. And this is what it says in verse 7. And so this is a warning, or a direction, a commandment. God is imploring Ezekiel, and he says, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand." Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. And Paul was saying, listen, until I shared with you, your blood was required at my hand. Now that I've shared Christ with you, your own blood is on your own head. I'm not responsible anymore because I've shared with you. You know, that's a heavy load, isn't it? When I was, many years ago, my wife and I lived in Odell. That's not where I wanted to say. What's the little town beside Newburgh? Dundee. Thank you. We lived in Dundee. You know, it had a tremendous impact on my life. I can't remember what it was. We lived in some apartments so similar to the apartments back here. And my wife and I went to the manager's apartment. We shared Christ with her and her two sons. They all received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I went to work the next day, came back, and those two boys had about 12 kids lined outside my door so they could receive Christ. Well, I didn't know at that time I could brought them all in and done it all together. So I did one by one, one by one, one by one. And brought them into the house, shared Christ with them, and each one received Christ. But there was this one kid, 4-year-old. And I'm thinking, 4-year-old's not going to understand. So I shared with him what sin was. I said, "Have you ever sinned?" He said, "Yeah." And tears started streaming down his eyes. And he said, "I lied to my mama." And the thought still was in my head, "He's too young. He's too young." And I did not share the rest of the story with him. From that time on, and I don't know, that's been 30-something years ago. I still pray for that kid because I feel like his blood is on my hands. And I'm hoping that someone else said the rest of the story and shared the rest of the story. Because I want to see that young man there. 30-something years old now. I want to see him there. I don't want his blood to be on my hands. But if the Lord gives us opportunity to share and we don't share, their blood is on our hands. This is, if he has caught, if the president said, "Tom, I want you to be my ambassador," and you go, Tom, and you go to Egypt or Libya or whatever, and you just talk about how wonderful everything is, and you don't ever share what the president had for you to share, there would probably be some things that would come on your head. Because you were his ambassador, that's what you were chosen to do. And I'm thinking that probably we don't take it serious enough about sharing Christ with other people. And because God is a loving God, and because he's a wonderful father to us, it's not like, so all he's doing is just saying, okay, let's get it better next time. Let's get it better next time. Let's get it better next time. Let's do it better next time. In January, we're going to start a series on how to be more effective in your witness for Christ in Sunday evenings. And I want you to, on your communication card, I need to know how many books to order. Okay, and I'll continue to share this. So if you're able to come, and let me know so I'll know how many books to order. But there are some tremendous rewards for those who become individuals who are peacemakers. People who take on the mantle of ambassadorship and share Christ with other people. There are some tremendous rewards for that. One of the rewards is that you become a son of God. You might say, well, I'm already... And sonship, daughterhood, actually it's a term which means mature. Okay? It's a sign of maturity. When you're able to bring people into the kingdom, there's a maturity that you are able to take on. God says, okay, you've risen to a new level. That in the Greek, a child, it is technon, T-E-K-N-O-N. And what that means is somebody that's not mature, somebody that's still growing, somebody that's still maturing. But when he talks about the sonship or daughterhood, that word is huios, which means someone who has reached a certain level of maturity that the Lord can begin to entrust things to him. Okay? And when he talks about you have become, so John 1:12, but as many as received them to received him, to them gave he power to become the huios. Not the technon, you're already a technon. To him gave he the power to become the sons of God. Okay? So there's sonship, there's discipleship, and then there's a couple of other, and then there's the huios. Okay? So you're growing in your maturity. There's a child, there's discipleship, there is servanthood, there's friendship, and then there's sonship. God said, if you learn to share your faith with other people, bring them into the kingdom, you're going to be to the level that sonship is, that you're blessed with sonship. So, Revelation chapter 12, 21. I'll go back. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. All creation is eagerly waiting for the sons of God to be manifested, to be shown. Okay? Because there's something about the sons of God, the daughters of God, that the all creation is just expecting and waiting for. I'm not sure that I'm there yet, but that's where I want to get to. Okay? That's where I want to get to. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and he shall be my son. my huios. To become a huios, to become a son, you have to begin to overcome things in your life. You need to overcome the world. You need to overcome yourself. You need to overcome Satan. Okay? And so I'm encouraging you. Listen, begin to put this mantle on that you're an ambassador for Christ. Put this mantle on that you're going to become a son of God. Not only that, not only do we become sons of God, but Scripture says when we learn to share our faith and bring people into the kingdom, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Sometimes I look up at the sky at night on a clear night and I see the stars and I'm wondering, I wonder if that's D.L. Moody. I wonder if that's Billy Sunday. I wonder if one of those stars is one day maybe Billy Graham. There may be a new star in the sky when Billy Graham dies. Scripture says that we will shine forever and ever like a star in the sky. That's one of the rewards. Not so that we can bring glory to ourselves, but because we bring glory to Jesus Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So, in closing, I want you to know that Jesus came to this earth to redeem all men, to bring them into right relationship with His Father. That's why He came. And we get to be a part of that. We get to be His hands. We get to be His feet. We get to be His mouth. We get to be Him to the world. Two things this morning. One, Jesus came to redeem you. He gave His life to take away your sins so that you would be able to have a right relationship with God the Father. But the only way you can have that is that you turn from your sins and receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the only way. There's no other way. You can't be good enough. You can't give enough. You can't work hard enough. There's nothing you can do except receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Scripture says when you do that, Jesus takes your sins away. He died for your sins, but it only helps you if you receive that. Okay? And the second thing is, perhaps today you realize that maybe your lifestyle is not what it ought to be. And you're more of a detriment to the cause of Christ than you are a help. And today you're going to say, Lord, I want my life changed. I'm going to live for You. No matter what it takes, no matter what struggle I go through, I'm going to be a, not only with my words, but with my life. I'm going to be an example so that I don't hinder someone from coming to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, I come before You, and Lord, I thank You for Your word to us. And Lord, I want to pray for that kid who's no longer a kid. And ask, Lord, that if he doesn't already know You as his personal Lord and Savior, that he would come into Your kingdom. Lord, I pray that You would help us to become the ambassadors of Christ that You've called us to become. And Lord, all of us can do better. All of us can be more mindful of those around us. All of us can share Christ more. Lord, I pray that we would take opportunities that You give us. Lord, not be so concerned about our own well-being as we are those about us. Lord, there's no greater privilege, no greater joy than bringing people into your kingdom. So, Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, I don't know if any other churches, what they're doing. But Lord, I know what you'd have us do. So, Lord, I pray that we would become greater ambassadors for you. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together.